much. Appreciate that, Dan and Kathy. It's so important to think about Peter telling him he was not afraid to continually remind, as he wrote to them, of things that they knew well, but he said it's needful for us to be reminded of the Lord, of his grace and what he's done. I remember my former pastor saying that when he was young in the ministry, he was afraid that he would repeat himself. And when he came to retirement, he said at his retirement, he said, I'm afraid that I haven't repeated myself enough. And there is an aspect to which we do need to be reminded. And that's how we learn, is repetition. And there's an aspect of we've gone and covered through this money series. There's been a good bit of repetition to some degree. We've dealt with different passages. We've dealt with sin in relationship to money. And we saw that covetousness is the sin that is mentioned the most, along with trusting in riches and worrying about our possessions. And so we can live for the things of this world. But as that song said, everything is the Lord's, and he has given everything to us. And so then we've looked at what is the right way to deal with money. And it's interesting, most of what the scripture has to say on money has to do with giving and honoring the Lord. And I think that's a very fascinating truth. And when you know that, I came across a statement this past week that said, giving breaks the power of money over you. I said, I think that's probably true. When you're willing to give, you're willing to set it, say, doesn't have a hold on me. It's not running my life. I'm ready to use it for the Lord. And then we've seen and we've looked at several different principles in the scripture in terms of a heritage principle, saving, and then the principle we're going to look at tonight, investing. And there's kind of a repeating theme that comes through this that is God wants us to live not in the now. That's the world's type of thinking. Live for today, the pleasure that I can receive, this present evil age. There's an aspect of the world is focused on this day. Believers have their minds opened so that they might have a focus on spiritual things, eternal things. And we have a constant look forward. And that's what God wants from us. So let's turn our Bibles as we begin this study on investing. And we'll come to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and we should turn to verse 14. We're going to read the entirety of this parable. We're going to start off with this parable. We're going to use it as a launching point, and then we're going to circle back around. Because in everything that we found, God typically uses money in such a way to teach us a spiritual lesson. And so there is something involved in this. So come to Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a very interesting and powerful parable that the Lord teaches. We see from the very beginning that this is something to teach us about the kingdom of heaven. It's not, the primary focus is not on how to use our money, but it uses a monetary framework from which to teach us the spiritual lesson. And in that monetary framework, he uses the aspect of an expectation that when you'll take the money that God has given you, in terms of this aspect, as the Lord would entrust something to him, that you are going to invest what you have to gain more than what you have when you started, so that you might have something to give to your Lord. We see also that this is truly not just a lesson on money, because he says, unprofitable servant, is that person a believer or an unbeliever? So the two that were profitable servants, he says, enter into the joy of my Lord. That is going into where? Going to heaven. But here he tells them, you are going to be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we're talking about here something a whole lot bigger than money. Because the person who's an unprofitable servant, he goes to hell. And so there's an aspect that we have to see from this. So when we come to this, we see a principle just right off the get-go, that inactivity leads to loss. Oh, I think this is something that we have to get into our minds over and over again. So many times, and as I disciple my children, myself, church members in that aspect, it's so easy for us to feel like, as long as I'm not actively doing something wrong, then I'm okay. But that's not Christian. That's not godliness. Godliness is proactive. Godliness is not just not doing wrong. Godliness is doing right by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all it takes for us to make a misstep is to do nothing. That's all it takes for evil men to triumph in a nation, is when good men step back and do nothing. And all it takes from us is just a little bit of slothfulness spiritually, a little bit of idleness, and we lose what God is giving to us. This principle is found in various places in the Scripture. He says in Matthew, well, we saw it in Matthew 25, 29 before. He says, For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. So the man who did nothing with what God gave him lost what God gave him. Now here in this context, Matthew 13, 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Another parable in which Jesus is speaking to them in terms of he's teaching them about the parable of the sower. And he's saying, all right, I'm casting out the truth of God's word. You're getting the seed. And he says, if you don't do something with what you are given, God says, you're going to lose the truth that God's given. We'll become hardened and callous to this. On a large scale, you can look at Europe. And then you can start to look at Great Britain. And every place that you look through there where they had the gospel of Jesus Christ and penetrated today, where there was inactivity and there was a falling away, you find a place of great hardness to the gospel. And that hardness can settle in here with us. It's interesting, Jesus tells us in John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. So there's an aspect of relationship to the vine, and says if you're not in the vine and you're not going to receive from him, it says that branch that doesn't produce anything, again, cut off and cast into the fire. But he says, oh, if you produce something and there's fruit. Matthew 21:24, he says, they say unto him, this is in response to another parable, the parable of the vineyard. And he says, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. You know what God expects a prophet from us? And we can talk about investing and that whole principle that we are to invest, but God has invested in us. He has given us the talents, the resources, the money, our understanding, our experience in the gospel. He's given us all of our life in terms of this aspect. And he says, I want you to yield me fruit. Where's the fruit of my labor in your life? You know what? God's working in us, the convicting of us of sin. Where's the fruit of repentance? God's showing us the truth of what we're supposed to do, but where's the obedience? Oh, it's so easy to hear with our ears, but not to put it into practice. God is investing in us truth. He's investing in us in a relationship. He's giving us spiritual gift. He's giving us life and health. And we have to turn around and ask the question, what are you investing it in? Are you going to provide the fruit and the profit for the Lord? Because certainly He deserves it. As we turn to this aspect of investing, we're going to find that there's a few scriptures that deal with investing in terms of our money and giving us some practical, godly advice in terms of those things. And there's also some other general principles that kind of come to bear. And then we're going to find, again, the spiritual application and end on that point here. This first principle is don't eat all your seed. There's an aspect of when you investing can be like planting seed. You take your seed, you put it in the ground. You want it to be in good ground, because you invest and put your seed in the bad ground, you're going to have a very poor crop. And there's an aspect that a plant will grow after you've invested, just like putting money into something. There, the aspect of it grows. Now, I have to say, and I hate to admit this, but it really is part of the truth of my life, so I just have to share it. I don't know why. But I was such a city slicker that the first time this idea ever came to me was actually in a machine shop. And we were all cleaning everything up, and I was really zealous because we did all these parts, and we had these the wood shavings on the ground that would kind of catch the oil, and that oil would get kind of saturated, and you'd go through there and scoop it up and clean it up. And so I was gonna clean mine spick and span. And my boss said this to me. He said, oh, don't worry about that a little bit. He said, We'll leave that for seed. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Obviously, he was just using his analogy. It was kind of funny. But there was an aspect of that thought process coming to you and say, oh, okay. But that's an analogy that's taking from the agricultural world that I had no idea about. There's an aspect that says, you know what? You can't invest for the Lord if you spend it all up. If you take everything that you've harvested, you put it all in for right now, and I'm going to bake all my bread and everything, and I don't save something to invest for the future, you won't have anything left over. And so we come back to this principle in some ways that probably couldn't be repeated more enough, is when it comes to money, the easiest thing that we can have in America is to become consumers. And we consume what God has given us rather than investing it for something of the future. Another aspect of investment is that diligence does not let what is gained go to waste. Proverbs 12:27 says, the slothful man roasteth not what he took in hunting. And so there's an aspect, you've got something, but you don't take care of it, and you don't use what you were able to get. And here you went out and you found a good shot, you took the shot, man, you've got the animal and maybe even cleaned it up and packed it out, and you've got it in your fridge, but you just never get around to baking it. Isn't that a shame? Maybe some conviction going around here. Like, oh man, we got, never did get to that meat this year. No. No, that's, but he says the substance of a diligent man, someone who's had to work for something. And there's a real aspect of, in our country, we don't understand this principle. It's all about giving out free handouts. And yet, when you do that and you get free housing and free phones and what else are we doing in our country that's, we give free to everything, people don't appreciate it. And they're not going to take care of it. But a diligent person, a person who has worked hard underneath following the will of God, says, you're going to look at what you've gained, and it's going to be precious. You're going to say, how can I use this? There's an aspect, you're not going to sit back and just have a sense of inactivity and say, oh well. You say, how can I use the money that I've gained to invest that so that it can gain money for the future? There's another principle that is aspect of be content to gain little by little. We looked at Proverbs 28:20 in the past. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And that expression of making haste is used several times in the Proverbs, warning us. So when you come to investing, oh man, there's so many people out there that are ready to throw out the scheme and says, man, you give me $100 and we can turn it into $10,000. Oh man, you're like, well, how are you going to do that? Well, you know, I've already told you my stories, when the gold comes in, and there'll be some scheme and some plan that says, there's an aspect you ought to be willing to do something over the long haul, to be patient and to not fall for this temptation, which really is in the realm of covetousness, to be hasty, to be rich. As we look at this, there's another principle in terms of this. When it comes to, I would advise if you're going to invest your money and really invest everything that we have for the Lord, we ought to seek counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. If the Lord burdens your heart and says, you know what? We need to do something with our finances. We really need to try to save for the future. We need to try to invest what we have saved and try to look forward to the future in terms of those what we can do to use our money to grow, to put it out for to be used by usury. In terms of the parable we've seen, you ought to find somebody who's done this and done it well, a godly person that you trust, and say, hey, can I pick your brain? Could you tell me, can you give me some advice in terms of how to do that? And I honestly have to say, I'm not really the best person to ask about that. There's something about that where we've done some investing in some areas, kind of doing some CDs and some things, but nothing really extravagant, pretty careful, tight-knit type person, but you know, probably some of the best investment that I've made is in real estate. That's probably the best return. I made some other poor investments. I'll tell you about those. But you got to be careful, and there's an aspect that you want to plan, and you want to have good counsel. In fact, the Bible tells in the multitude of counselors there are safety. That's mentioned twice in the Proverbs in terms of that. And so God wants us to have the humility that says, hey, I don't got it all figured out. I need to seek help in every matter. And this applies ultimately to our finances as well. There's an aspect to which a principle as well that we need to invest in what you understand. The Bible says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. There's an aspect that says if someone wants to invest and says, hey, if you'll just invest in this portfolio or you'll invest in this company, you really do need to have some knowledge about that. And that you need to have the explanations that you're not just, because there's a lot of schemes out there, and there's actually a lot of things you ought not to invest in. There's a lot of companies out there, and it becomes more and more difficult in these days because you can invest into something here, and you say, well, where's that? What's that money going to? And you're like, well, that's going to like five or six good companies and three or four not so good companies. And you really want to seek out the flexibility and those type of things to be able to choose, to make sure your money is going to things that would honor the Lord. The Bible also talks about diversifying your investment. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And so there's an aspect of, yes, it feels like, oh man, what happened to that money? What happened to that investment? You don't see it anymore. But he says it'll come back. And there's an aspect that probably relating to some of the shipping industry and those investments that were made. And in Ecclesiastes 11:2, it says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. And understanding is that things fail. Banks fail. Isn't that interesting? And you start seeing stuff like that, and you're like, very interesting. You don't know what's going to happen. So they're saying, you know what? You ought to invest in seven different, maybe eight different. And there's all kinds of different aspects of investment in terms of real estate or different commodities or there's mutual funds and CDs and all kinds of the stock market. There's all kinds of different variations. I say, don't throw all of your eggs in one basket. And you try to say, and this is what happens. If you've got the home run, I mean, this is the investment that is the absolutely you can't miss, put all your eggs in the basket type thing. That's a sure sign in your heart that it's too good to be true. If you've got something that has to get, all your money has to go for this one investment idea, it's not a good idea. But there's an aspect, just follow the scriptures. And he tells us that it's common sense because of what takes place in the world to diversify what you invest for the Lord. He also tells us in this passage, don't be paralyzed by fear or uncertainty. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. You can say, oh man, this is not it. I know some people that do well in the stock market, and you got to be pretty smart. If you say, oh man, I'm waiting for that, is this the time to do it or whatnot? And you say, I'm not saying maybe now is the right time. I'm not sure. But there's an aspect that says you can't be just, if you allow fear to maybe say, oh no, it doesn't, I'm just, oh, and it can lock you into what? Inactivity, procrastination, doing nothing. God says, that's not what I want you to do with what I've given to you. I want you to use it. I want you to invest it. As we look back in terms of this application, now I think throughout you're probably seeing and hearing it, but I want to make it clear. God wants you to use your money to invest in Him and His cause. That's why you ought to invest, not so that I can build up some great portfolio and I can say, wow, I can tear down my barns and bigger ones and sit back and take my ease and put my trust and my financial security. That's not the purpose at all. There's an aspect that God wants us to be diligent. God may bring certain things. You may have things take you back, but if you're trying to be wise and following the Lord, and if God blesses you, He wants you to use that for your family, for your inheritance principle. He wants you to save up for those things that might go wrong, but to be used for the ministry, to be used to further God's work. You know what? It's really exciting. I mean, I've seen the Lord supply my needs, and I can live from day to day on little income. We did that while we were having kids and going to college. And I was working three part-time jobs and trying to work through that. And God, it's wonderful. God is gracious. But you know, it's also really enjoyable when you can save some money so you can give to somebody else. When there's a need, you're not the person in need, but you can meet someone else's need. It is more blessed to receive, right, than to give. Oh, no, I quoted that wrong. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There's an aspect of inactivity for God is a sign of unbelief. The person who says, you know what? I don't mind coming to church and just being fed, but I'm not willing to use my time and my resources to invest in other people. He says, that's not the character of a Christian. When what God's given to you, you ought to share. You know what? Every day we ought to get up and read our Bible, and God ought to share something with us. But He hasn't shared that with you so that you could enjoy it and live by it and sit on it. Every single one of us, God wants you to share that with someone. He wants to take what He's investing in your life. There ought to be, every single one of us ought to be overflowing into the lives of other people. Who are you investing in? What ministry are you investing in? How are you using the resources that God has given to you? Because a believer who is going to enter in to the joy of the Lord is someone who's going to receive from the Lord, and he's going to take it and give it to others. It's interesting to me that God doesn't give everybody 5 talents. Now, that would be fair. He gives some 5, and some 2, and some 1. And the kicking phrase in there, he says, severally according to their ability. So the guy who had the least ability was the one who had the 1. Can you imagine excuses he might have had? I'm not very good at this. I can't sing very good. I just freeze up when I talk to other people, and I just really can't give the gospel. I get terrified. No, we can have all kinds of excuses that would keep us from doing what God wants us to do. But for God gave 5 talents, He was pleased with 5 talents. He didn't require 5 talents from someone He gave 2. God is gracious. He is fair. But He requires of us to use what God has given in our lives, the spiritual truth, the spiritual life, the faith that we have, the money, the resources we have. Invest everything that God gives you into the lives of other people. Live for others. Live for eternity. And you will demonstrate the fruit of someone to whom God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for how your word meets us at every application. We know that you haven't given us a whole book of the Bible dealing with how to make money or how to invest. You've given us principles to live by, and we want to, in every facet of our lives, mine the scriptures, search them out, so that we might live and bring every area of our life in conformity to you. And Father, I pray that we would be an investing church, a forward-looking church, towards what you are going to do, towards the coming again of Jesus Christ. You've gone away on a long journey, but you will come again. There will be a reckoning with my life. There'll be a reckoning with every believer here, with every soul here. And Father, I pray that not one will be called a slothful servant, but Lord, all and everyone in this room would live for those beautiful words of well done. We pray it all for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right.